Boker Tov, good morning. We are continuing Parashat Nitzavim. Today's class will be for the Refuah Shalom Avol Dechonim V'chlelam Chemdav Rachma Chanduzan El Melech Hanukam Nikpas Harabam Tanei Shalom Avtzara David Merachel Yafa Bada Barah Rivka Bada Chavi Rivka Bada Sera Shalom Avtzara Fahim Adama Shem Merchana Yifa Ben Miriam Yehuda Manifa Chaya Sabit Chavi Rachma Merchana Simcha Ben Melka Miriam Bada Chavi Rivka Miriam Chana Leana Nona Tehom Merchel Sabana Sera Rechana Gavar Gida Bada Baracha Tan Ben Yitzchak Ben Yaakov Damar Merchel Shem Manet Arim Nikpa Yosef Ben Demesh Ben Shem Penina Yosef Ben Yafa Dani Medina Sera Chana Fahim Adama Shem Merchel Kedah 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 Gavre Yishu Ben Yechamah Melechanam Akabah Sarah Shem Shem Simen Yechon David Yerik Zadiyana Sarash Hashem Ben Naomi Lavdil Nishma David Ben Eliyahu Min Yamin Ben Yitzchak Leyadina Ben Ephraim Shem Rishon Ben Yechon Kabadan Boaz Ben Abraham Dina Ben Aron Tamar Barachah Ben Abraham Moshe Ben Rafael Sarah Ben Yosef Bat Yosef Lavdil Rayon Devorah Bat Miriam. Okay, Parashat Nitzavim. At the end of the third Aliyah, there's a very, very important line. I think this line is something that we need to re-go over every single day and punch into our heads to remember. The pasuk says, "Hanistarot la Adonai Eloheinu, v'haniglot lanu ulvanenu ad olam." He says the hidden sins are for Hashem, but the revealed sins are for us and our children forever. La'asod et kol divrei Torah hazot, to fulfill all of this Torah. What does this pasuk say? The hidden sins are for Hashem. The revealed sins are for us and our children. What does that mean? I can explain this. So I think the simple understanding behind this is obviously every single person is obligated to protect their integrity of Am Yisrael against doing sins. This is how Rashi explains. Rashi says that when you see someone sinning, you have to protect Am Yisrael from violating Chas V'Shalom a sin because you're part of Am Yisrael. But I think if you dive in deeper, it says the nistarot, the hidden sins are between you and Hashem. Meaning, what a person decides to do in his own home, what a person decides to eat in his own home, what a person decides to do in private, that's between you and God. That has nothing to do with anybody else. You decide, you want to do X, you want to do Y, you're going to face judgment in Yom HaDin, Rezat Hashem, upcoming this Sunday night, this Monday. You're going to face Yom HaDin, and you're going to have to show all of your calculations what you decided to do to Hashem. That's between you and God. V'had niglot, but the revealed sins, the ones that you do in public, that's not just you. That's you including your children. That's you including all of Am Yisrael. That's you including all of your ancestry. Why? Because when you do something in public, it's not just between you and Hashem anymore. You're telling the people around you, you know God, you know Hashem. I'm taking Hashem and I'm saying, I don't care about Hashem. When a person sins in public, it's much more severe when someone does something in private. That's why the Chachamim say, when a person violates things in public, the halakha is much more severe. The halakha treats the person as a much more severe sin rather than when someone violates a prohibition in private. I'm not saying a person should violate sins in private because they're less severe. But what we do know is that when a person does something in private in his own home, that's between you and God. We don't know what Hashem is going to do. We don't know what calculations you're going to do with Hashem. But when it comes to you doing things in public, Chas V'Shalom, it can cause Chilul Hashem. You know, this is a very proper time as we're approaching Rosh Hashanah to talk about some of the laws of Teshuvah. The Rambam, he goes in his first chapter of the laws of Teshuvah, and he goes down the way a person is supposed to repent, the way a person is supposed to do Teshuvah from his past sins. So he says there's four categories. There's a category of a person violating, he's doing a sin that doesn't necessarily have a punishment to it. He says that you have to do Teshuvah. Say, Hashem, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm never going to do it again. For example, a person forgot to put on tefillin. I regret what I did. I made a mistake. You confess to Hashem, I'm sorry I did that. I'll never do it again. You don't do it again. You always put on tefillin. Hashem cleans your slate. That's it. That's stage number one. Stage number two, second level, you violate something that there is a prohibition. It's a negative commandment, for example. A person goes and he has nevela. He eats a non-kosher. Person, again, you have to go through that stage. Teshuvah, you go through the whole process, regretting, confession, everything you do. I'm never going to do it again. And Yom Kippur has to arrive. When Yom Kippur comes, then you get atoned for. There's this third stage. Person who violates something that's karet. Person who breaks Yom Kippur. Person who eats chametz on Pesach. A person who does something that's liable to malkut, for example. Does something that's liable to lashes. Violates negative commandments. He does something severe, more severe. He has to go through teshuvah, regret, confess, don't do it again. You have to go through Yom Kippur. That's not enough though. The halakha says, the Rambam writes, that only after a person receives some type of suffering in this world will be atoned for his sin.
For something with malkut also?
Malkut. So that's for those three. The Rambam then finishes off the first chapter of Halachot of Teshuvah and he says, but that's only when a person does not do Chilul Hashem. If a person does Chilul Hashem, if a person desecrates God's name, for example, haniglot, if somebody violates a sin in public, he goes and desecrates God's name in public and does sins in public, the Rambam writes that's much more severe. It doesn't matter anymore. You go through teshuvah, you do teshuvah, that doesn't fix the problem yet. You go through Yom Kippur, still not done yet. You get suffering, still not done yet. When will that person who did a chilul Hashem, he desecrated God's name, when will Hashem forgive him? The Rambam writes, only at the time of death. Chilul Hashem. It's to such an extent that Rambam is writing that chilul Hashem is the worst, most severe sin that a person can possibly do. And what does it come from? Haniglod lanu vanin adolam. A person doing public sins. A person doing public things. Why does it affect your children? God forbid. Why does it affect a person's children? Because when a person sins publicly, he's telling God, I don't care about your name. I don't care about you. I'm taking Hashem's name and chas v'shalom throwing it in the garbage when a person sins in front of him. When a person sins in front of Am Yisrael, when a person sins in public, when a person walks in the street and not caring, right? And I want to give a few examples, and I think it's very, very practical, because what a person does in their own home, I'm not putting a hechsher on, I'm not saying you should do bad things in your own home. What I'm saying is when you do things in your own home, it's up to you and Hashem. You're not affecting other people outside your house. It's between you and God what you do in your own room, in your own bathroom, in your own closed doors. But when you come outside of the house and you do things in public, when you go to certain restaurants, when you go and say things in front of other people and there's public around you, it's not just between you and God anymore. Now you're including your children involved. Now you're including the people around you. Now you're including Chilul Hashem. Because when things come to publicity, now God's name is involved. Now you're saying, I wear a kippah, I'm a Jew, I walk around as a Jew, I have to represent a Jew. I have to represent what a Jew means, what it means to be a Jew. I cannot just walk around and do whatever I want and go wherever I want and eat whatever I want because I'm a Jew. So too in your home, you can't do that either. But a person does it in his home, no one's policing you in your own home. But when it comes to the public, a person has to be policed, because you can't just walk around and do Chilul Hashem. You know, there's a very, very beautiful story. I think I heard this from Rabbi Biton a little while back. He said there was a man during this time period, during Selichot, he was on a flight in the airplane, and he had a flight one morning. And he needed to, you know, they had to say Selichot, but there wasn't a Jewish flight. There was no Jews on the flight. But he said, listen, it's Selichot, we have to blow the shofar. What do? We have a minhag, we have a custom during the 40 days of Selichot to blow the shofar. What do I do? He looks around, he sees everyone sleeping. What do? He says, doesn't matter. Hashem wants me to blow the shofar. I got to blow it anyway. He goes to the back of the plane. Everybody wakes up, everyone starts screaming, what are you doing? Ah, and the guy walks away. I was mekayem the mitzvah, blowing the shofar, look how great I am. He's a tipesh, what an idiot. First of all, there's no mitzvah during Selichot to blow the shofar, it's just a minhag. Some people don't even have the minhag. Most Sephardic communities don't have the minhag to blow the shofar. Not only that, the guy is strict to the extent that he's going to ruin everyone's flight, wake everyone up in the middle of the night to blow, or in the morning, whatever, to blow the shofar. Why? Because he thinks that he's doing what's right. He rationalized the thing. The biggest thing that he could have done, he thought it was the biggest mitzvah, turns into the biggest chilul Hashem, the biggest desecration of God's name. We have to not rationalize. We have to realize that at times, we have to know what's right to do. We have to ask. We have to open up our eyes and say, is this right? Is this wrong? Stop rationalizing the thinking that we're doing, whatever we're doing is right. Person thinks, I go to eat at this restaurant, it's okay. If this is vegetarian, who knows? Even though it's not kosher, vegetarian is okay. It's not okay. Don't rationalize. Tell yourself, is this what Hashem wants for me? Why do you need a hechsher on a restaurant? Because there is processes and things that goes into restaurants for the foods to become kosher. Items don't just all of a sudden fall from the sky and they're kosher. There has to be a mashgiach. There has to be someone there that checks the food to make sure everything's kosher. There has to be someone there to make sure that everything is washed properly so that there's no bugs inside. You go and eat a salad. I love when people tell me this. People go to a non-kosher restaurant, a vegetarian, quote-unquote, vegetarian kosher restaurant, quote-unquote, and they'll go and eat a salad. Now, they say, what's the problem? There's no issue. The worst thing you can probably eat at a non-kosher restaurant is probably a salad. Because there's a process that a Jewish mashgiach has to go through to wash lettuce and wash vegetables and wash all of that properly so that there's no bugs. It's not just go under the sink and wash it. If you try to take a piece of lettuce, you put an ant on it and you wash it under the sink, it won't fall off. That's not how bugs work. There's a process of how you clean bugs. It's all written in halakha, and there's ways and experts in how they do them. And mashgiachs are supposed to be taught the expertise of how you clean all of these vegetables. I don't want to get so much into detail, but just to think about it, a person doesn't realize that every bug a person eats that you don't even realize in the vegetables is another Torah prohibition. And a person doesn't pay attention to that because they rationalize. We have to stop rationalizing. And in fact, the most important spot not to rationalize is in public. when a person goes out in public, when you order something for food and you go out in public and you're ordering it to a public place, a place where everyone can see, you have to make sure that it's kosher. You have to make sure that you're ordering things that are proper according to Hashem. You have to make sure that you're not rationalizing. Why? Because the hidden sins that you do between you and Hashem in your own home, that's between you and God. But the things you do in public, that's not just between you and God. You're affecting you, you're affecting your families, you're affecting the people around you, you're affecting your children in the future, you're affecting your family, you're affecting your community, you're affecting all of Am Yisrael. Because when a person does a Chilul Hashem, it's almost impossible in this lifetime for a person to be able to clean that slate. I want to just finish off with one last note. The Rabbeinu Yonah, he writes that even though the Rambam says, because I think many people, okay, what if a person did do Chilul Hashem in his list? So what is he supposed to do now? Just wait till death? So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, I don't agree with the Rambam. He says, I disagree. If a person goes to such an extent that he did Chilul Hashem in this world, he desecrated God's name, how does he clean that slate? He has to do the opposite. He has to go in this world and make such a big Kiddush Hashem, sanctify God's name in this world. Make such a big Kiddush Hashem that atones for the slate, for the sin of making Chilul Hashem. And he says, if a person does that, if a person sanctifies God's name so much in this world, does Kiddush Hashem, it'll clean a slate for the Chilul Hashem that he did as well, obviously following all the steps of Teshuvah. So I think that's the answer. The answer is yes. If a person has done it, don't feel yeush, don't feel bad. Don't say, there's nothing I can do anymore. No, you can. You can fix yourself. You can be better. You do Teshuvah. I won't do it again. Yom Kippur. Some suffering will come. Hashem will atone for it. But when? When you do Kiddush Hashem. Show Hashem that you're going to do the opposite. You're going to sanctify God's name. You're going to make Kiddush Hashem in everything that you do. Someone walks by and they see you. They see you as a Jew. They're going to say, what a Jew. What a person that person is. What an amazing person. Why? They're a Jew. Look how they act. Look how they act around people. And I'll finish with one idea. There was this one person. He was a Jew. And he had this he has this disease that he wasn't able to speak. He was mute. And one time he went to the bank and he wanted to receive a withdrawal. He went and gave, he wrote it down, I want to receive this withdrawal. So they gave him the money and he couldn't speak. And he's standing there, he's making these sounds and he's not moving from the line. And the guy's standing there, he gets upset. After 1 minute, 2 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, standing there, he's holding the money like this. What's going on? So they call, one of his relatives come in, this and that. And he writes down what's going on and he tells him, you gave me an extra dollar. He wouldn't move from the line because they gave him an extra dollar in the bank. And they recounted the money and they saw it was an extra dollar in the one. He gave the dollar back. The bank is standing there. Who would ever stay for so long just to return an extra dollar? We would have never known. It's only a Jew. Because why? Because you can make a Kiddush Hashem. And that guy made a Kiddush Hashem and he sanctified God's name in public. And that is what we're here doing. We're supposed to be living in this world to try to find more and more opportunities for a person to make a Kiddush Hashem. Have a great day, gentlemen.